Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I hope you all are having a good week or continuing to have a good week or are having a good week starting now. I just hope you guys are in good spirits because, there's a lot going on. In the world, I'm sure there's a lot going on in your own personal lives, and I'm just glad anytime I get to come here on the air at 1 p.m. on WKAR AM 870 105.1 and shed a little light, hopefully, into your day, all right? But the weather is getting better, right? We can at least look at that and say, hey, things are looking up. You know, it feels good walking outside, and it's not freezing cold, and you don't need that winter jacket on or that Scully on. So look on the bright side, folks. And look, if you're listening to my voice right now, you are alive and you've got breath in your lungs, and that's a good thing as well. All right. So I'm Mr. Positive today. I hope everyone is well out there. And on today's Current Sports, you know, speaking of the weather getting better, I want to comment briefly on Michigan State spring football. And after I comment briefly on Michigan State football, you are going to hear what the head coach of the Michigan State football program and Mel Tucker, what he had to say during his media availability yesterday as the Spartans actually kicked off spring ball. Yesterday was the first spring practice for the Michigan State football team. And, you know, Mel Tucker heading into, you know, his second year as the head man in charge of the Michigan State football team on the gridiron. You know, I just think he's the right man for the job. You know, you listen to him, and you're going to hear from him in just a moment again. But you listen to him in his press conferences. You hear what his players have to say about him. And you evaluate that first COVID year, in which was a really odd year, right? Just like many sports leagues have endured, it's just been different. It has been just totally different. You know, at first, the Big Ten said that, yeah, we're done this season. And then there are massive protests everywhere. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kevin Warren and company, they meet and say, all right, yeah, we're going to get this thing on. And we had some, you know, Big Ten football for you guys. So in what was a very different year, I thought that Mel Tucker, he really outperformed many people's expectations, including myself. So, yeah, man, you know, I think that, you know, this team is trending upward. And in addition to, you know, not just talking about spring ball and the upcoming year and what he wants to accomplish this season, but Michigan State football also released its spring roster. And there are a few players missing. Now, I want to say this in addressing this because, you know, a lot may be made in the eyes of some out there saying, okay, why are these players transferring then, Al? If this program is on the upswing, why are players leaving? That's just the world we live in today. The transfer portal has totally changed the game in regards to how players out there move. If they're not getting playing time, or if they are unhappy with really anything, it really doesn't matter, then they can throw their name in the transfer portal. And I'm all about the mobility of college athletes because, look, they don't get paid anyway. You know, it would be one thing if they were getting compensated for their talents like they should. And, you know, we thought by now at least we would have something in place where they would be getting compensated. But the year that has been and the time that has been COVID has really pushed that timeline even further out. But if they were getting compensated, that would be a different conversation. You know, there would be different, I believe, contractual obligations to said school if you are getting a check from that said school. Or, heck, even the NCAA. But since you're not, then, hey, man, you know, you have very limited power, and the power that you do have, use it. So if you don't feel like this said university is giving you the opportunities that you want or need to get to where you want to go, then, hey, I see no problem with it. And look, this is not just happening at Michigan State. This is happening at every university in America. When you talk about big-time college football, this is happening at every university in America. I challenge my listeners out there who disagree with that to find me a school where you don't have players hitting the transfer portal. I'll wait. I'll probably be waiting a long time for you to do that. So when it comes to the Spartans, you've got a few players that will not be returning in 2021. Tight end Matt Dotson and right tackle Jordan Reed are not listed on the roster. You know, and those are pretty big names. You know, Matt Dotson, Jordan Reed, we saw them play in the green and white. You know, Dotson, a senior in 2020. Tucker said in February that he would return this fall. He caught 9 passes for 107 yards in 4 games. 6'5", 240-pound native of Cincinnati. 41 passes. He caught 41 passes for 436 and 2 TDs in 35 games over 4 seasons, including 8 starts. Limited, though, the past 2 seasons. And had an Achilles injury, if you remember, back in 2019 that ended his year there. Reed opted out of playing in 2020 due to concerns over COVID-19. 6'5", 315 pounds, Cast Tech product. He started 27 straight games at right tackle before that and was actually the lone offensive lineman to play every game during the 2018-19 seasons. Also not on the roster is corner Trey Person, 5'11", 170-pound Atlanta native. He had 27 tackles. He started 5 of his 6 games in 2020, adding a sack, a forced fumble, and a pass breakup. And wide receiver Lares Nelson, who did not play due to injury last year, he was also not listed. So you have Trey Person. You've got Lares Nelson. You've got Jordan Reed. You've got Matt Dotson. All players who are not listed on the roster. So, yeah, man. But, you know, looking at the flip side of this, 2 offensive linemen are returning for their extra year of eligibility, starting left tackle A.J. Okuri and also Luke Campbell, who missed last season with an unspecified injury. Tucker also brought back the number one this season, junior wide receiver Jaden Reed, switching to the number that had been out of circulation since Charles Rogers back in 2001-02. So that was pretty cool, right? And other receivers who have worn the number one include Andre Bad Moon Risen from 85 to 88 and Mohsin Muhammad from 92 to 95. So that's pretty cool. But this team has a lot of talent on it, you know, and Mel Tucker went on to note that the quarterback competition will be an open competition, right? As it should be. As it should be. Because there's just a lot of question marks right now. You know, there's a lot of question marks when it concerns the quarterback situation heading into the 2021 season. You know, two and new intriguing quarterbacks. You know, you got Temple transfer Anthony Russo. Also, three-star true freshman Hampton Fay. That's going to create a unique quarterback battle. Peyton Thorne, he won the starting job. Just to rattle your memory a little bit, he won the starting job by the end of 2020. And he showed some skill and craftiness, you know, when coming in for, you know, the injured and struggling Rocky Lombardi, who also entered the transfer portal. So Peyton Thorne, I think he seems to be the clear-cut favorite. But again, this is an open competition. If Mel Tucker sees something different, you know, where, I don't know, a Fay or a Russo impresses more, I don't know. Could be something different that we're not seeing that he may decide to roll with. So, you know, Lombardi transfers. Rocky had a very rocky Michigan State career. It was very up and down. You know, I always have flashbacks to that performance against Purdue when he came in for an injured Brian Lewerke, and you know, you had the fans chanting Rocky, Rocky, like he was Sly, right? And I thought to myself, okay, maybe Michigan State has found something here. But you know, when you evaluate the quarterback career of Rocky Lombardi at Michigan State, I think it just goes to show that is a perfect example that you just can't walk into a Division I program and just have success right off the bat. You know, it is hard playing the quarterback position at that level of football. It is not easy. But once you do strike gold and you find that guy, sky's the limit, man, because the quarterback is the center of everything. You know, if you have a good quarterback on any team, I don't care what level of football you're talking about, really, you can win a lot of football games. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. And there's a few ways this thing could play out. I also want to mention the two other quarterbacks because, again, this is an open competition. You've got Noah Kim and Theo Day on the roster as well. They each have their own strengths and weaknesses, but, you know, due to the fact that neither could really make a name for themselves this past season, I mean, I highly doubt that they would take a top spot from Russo or Thorne during the competition this offseason. I don't know, a dark horse candidate that I've been reading out there, you know, that a lot of Spartan fans like is Fay, Hampton Fay, 6'5", gunslinger from All Saints Episcopal in Fort Worth, Texas. Very underrated prospect. He suffered from an injury in his junior year, which stalled his national rankings, but he put together a solid senior campaign. So I don't know. Maybe Mel will allow Russo to mentor Thorne and Fay for this year, and then, I don't know, go into 2022 with a quarterback battle of maybe like Fay versus Thorne. I don't know, but I think heading into this upcoming year, I just think that Peyton Thorne will be the starting quarterback. I'm just going with my gut there. I mean, when we watch that spring game, which will be April 24th, a Saturday, of course, in Spartan Stadium, no word on whether or not fans will be allowed or if fans are allowed, you know, what the capacity will be set at. But right now, at least set your calendar for April 24th. That's when the spring game will be. And when the spring game will take place, I think we will see Peyton Thorne QB1, at least to start here. So, but you know, it's always interesting when looking at the roster and kind of trying to break it down and trying to read certain tea leaves as to what could happen with the team, because it's just so early. It's so early, but we are so, of course, you know, football crazed that, you know, we're already really trying to break it down and see, you know, who is going to be the guy at this said position or that said position. And we have really no clue at all. So as I mentioned, you're going to hear from from Mel Tucker in just a moment. And it was really cool, you know, just one of the coolest moments for me during yesterday's press conference was that in the background of Mel Tucker, and this is getting a lot of play now, in the background of Mel Tucker, like, you know, on his desk in the back, you had all of these Michigan State football helmets, right? And one of the helmets was actually the Script S helmet. How cool is that? You know, I know a lot of people have been making a lot of that helmet. You know, it's really cool because, you know, we've seen the Script S on the men's college basketball jerseys, but, you know, to see it on, you know, the Michigan State football helmet is just, you know, the state that we see on the Michigan State basketball jerseys. It's a really cool and slick look, and he had that helmet in the background, and I was just kind of just going crazy. I really, man, as a collector's item, I would really love to have that helmet. That is just, you know, I'm not a big collector when it comes to sports memorabilia, but I must say that one was and is very, very cool. So I'm curious, you know, how many of you, you know, like the Script helmet, the Michigan State Script State helmet, paying a tribute to Michigan State football. I would love to hear from you guys and see if you guys like that. And, you know, I can't wait to see Michigan State, hopefully, Don knows, come next season. So the rumor of the Script helmets, it actually started last season, and the team planned to unveil the helmet in a game against Maryland, but that was canceled due to COVID-19. So, and following the release of a video from Michigan State football, that kind of fueled the fire, right? Excuse me. People just started going crazy. And that basically confirmed it. You know, when you saw Michigan State football put out that tweet was actually sent out. If you want to check out the video for it, February 26th of this year, check it out. And, you know, again, it's a direct tribute to Michigan State football and the legacy that is Michigan State football. All right, before I allow you guys to hear from Mel Tucker, I do want to comment on this because, you know, more and more as time goes on, we are seeing the world of sports and our world, period, collide. And sports figures are not just commenting on the troublings in today's society, but they are feeling empowered to do so. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Because, as I always say, man, to steal the line from the great Marvel Spider-Man comic books, what Uncle Ben told Peter Parker, it's so true. With great power comes great responsibility. When you have a major platform that can reach millions and millions of people, you automatically, whether you like it or not, you automatically have a reach and have influence on hundreds of thousands, and in some cases, millions of people. So what you say, what you do, it matters. It has a direct influence on so many. More importantly, it has an influence, again, whether you like it or not. You know, what was that? That was Charles Barkley, who had the famous commercial back in the day, "I am not a role model." Well, whether you like it or not, Charles, you are. Because of your platform, it automatically gives you a stage to be a role model in the eyes of some, in the eyes of many, really, whether you like it or not. So how you operate matters. And I think so many people so many athletes are understanding that as time goes on. And using your platform, how you use your platform, gosh, you have to be so conscious of it. And I am so glad that so many athletes out there, so many celebrities out there use it for good. And coaches as well. Like Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr, who actually has spoken up. And he slammed lawmakers for inaction after the latest tragedy in regards to mass shootings. Of course, we all know what happened in Boulder, Colorado this week. We all have been following what happened out in Atlanta and the attacks that are happening with many Asian Americans across our nation. Steve Kerr, he spoke up and he sat in front of a black screen and had the names of the 18 victims in the last two mass shootings in Colorado and Atlanta. And it was just a really powerful message. You know, there's a tweet that that went out that I saw last night. And Kerr went on to say, quote, "I think it's first of all important to reference their names," and their names popped up on the screen. "These are human beings. These are people who have been lost. The thought of the mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, daughters and sons who are grieving right now with the loss of the people behind me is just devastating, particularly in the wake of what is just a common occurrence in our country and an inability of our representatives in government of doing anything about it." Kerr, who has been one of the most outspoken figures in the NBA, he has been a long-time advocate for gun control and has been calling for meaningful change for years. This is not new to him. And if you know anything about Steve Kerr's story, and I didn't know this until I watched the Chicago Bulls' Last Dance documentary, this is very personal to him as well, because his father was actually assassinated in Lebanon back in the 1980s while he was playing at Arizona. So this is very personal for Steve Kerr. He has hosted a town hall about the issue in the Bay Area. He's helped draw support for both Vote for Our Lives and March for Our Lives groups that were started by students. And like he has done plenty of times in the past, he called out lawmakers for not doing anything meaningful to help solve the problem. He specifically addressed one bill that was passed again in the House of Representatives earlier this month that would expand background checks on people trying to buy or transfer a firearm in the country. That's a concept that an overwhelming majority of Americans support. And he pointed to the Atlanta shootings as a perfect example of why that bill could help, as the suspect purchased the weapon allegedly used in the attacks that same day legally. So Steve Kerr, using his platform to speak up, to try and spark some kind of change, saying, quote, "This could be your family." And it is so, so true. Others who have spoken up, Denver Nuggets coach Michael Malone, he broke down while addressing the massacre. Of course, that really hitting home for the Nuggets being out there in Colorado. And it's just heartbreaking. You know, I spent some time yesterday, you know, reading the witness accounts of what occurred out in Colorado at that grocery store and those who were inside of that building when it took place. Those a guy who was just in there to buy a soda and a bag of chips starts hearing gunshots and runs to the back of the grocery store, to the employee area, and thankfully was able to escape out the back door with other employees and others in the store. Then I read a firsthand account of a grandfather who was there with his grandkids and his son, and he's in line trying to, you know, get his COVID test. Shots ring out, and he witnesses a woman get shot and killed right in front of him, who was first in line to get registered for that COVID-19 test, and his two granddaughters saw it, and he wonders how that will impact them the rest of their lives. know, a pharmacist. When the shots rang out, you know, hid in a room right next to the pharmacy. They could hear just gunshot after gunshot, intermixed with the music playing over the speaker in the grocery store. Then she hears the shooter surrender. There's bloody footprints in the grocery store, and she sees someone that she knows right there, just lifeless. This is real, folks, and it is a troubling time that we're living in, and change has to happen. It has to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number that you can call and leave us a voicemail at. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page, or you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll get to less important matters, and you'll hear from Mel Tucker, head coach of the Michigan State football team, as he talks about spring football for the Spartans and how the preparation is coming. That and more. You are listening to the Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, folks, we're getting you ready for spring football today, as Michigan State football opened up its first spring practice of the spring season yesterday. Here's a bit of what Mel Tucker had to say in relation to how the prep is coming for next season.
We had a good day today. It was a good start. I thought we put some money in the bank. You know, in our out-of-season conditioning program, our Spartan training program, we had 8 weeks of running and lifting and drill work and walkthroughs and meetings, and I feel like, you know, our guys did a really good job. I give my hat goes off to Coach Novak and his staff and in our weight room. I believe your team is building the weight room, and they did a fantastic job. Our guys are all bought in what we're doing in the weight room, what we're doing in nutrition with Amber, and we were very prepared for a spring practice today. And what we're looking for in the spring is to gain ground and get better. And that's really what it's all about. It's the third phase of our out of season, and it really sets the tone for our summer conditioning program, and then we'll roll that into fall camp. But our focus is on being best conditioned. You know, these are the foundation of our program, and playing with great technique and fundamentals. Playing smart, playing fast, playing physical. You know, the job of a coach is to teach, motivate, and develop players. And so this is all part of that process, you know, to gain ground, trust the process. Today was a day to do that. We have 15 practices. We're going Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, 5 weeks. And we don't have one day to waste. And I felt like today we were very productive. It was very competitive, but it's really just one step in the process, a very important step. And I was, you know, just we're excited to be out there. Just to think that a year ago we didn't have this opportunity, it just really blows my mind. And I think back, and that, you know, we didn't get a chance to do any of this, and so we're going to make the most of it. I was really pleased what we did today. So it was bright and early. So I'll open up for questions.
Thanks, Coach. We'll start with Matt Charbonneau, the Detroit News.
Hey, Mel. Good to see you. I'm going to touch on a little bit of what you said there. Does this kind of, considering the way last spring went and everything kind of going crazy there, does this feel almost like a fresh start? Like this is kind of a little bit like your first year, even though it's not really the case, but does it feel a little bit different like that?
It doesn't feel like my first year, certainly. It's really not a fresh start. It's just more of a normal out of season. that's what it feels like. There's been a lot of work, preparation that's gone into this program, leading up to this point, including everything we did, last season and then this off season. It's been a grind for the staff and for the players, and so again, it's part of the process. And so we embrace it, I realize that I've been here over a year, and we got a lot of work to do.
And you mentioned at the end of the year, you guys are going to be active in the portal. You talked about it on signing day as well. You've got some new early enrollees, guys on the way out, guys on the way in. How important has it been kind of getting all the new faces and everybody kind of used to where they're at, getting them on board and kind of getting them going in the system there?
It's very important. We're not here just to collect players. We're here to build a team. That's very important. Team chemistry is a big part of the game of football. I mean, it's the ultimate team sport. So not only do we need to acquire the players that can make us better and help us win, but we have to develop a team, and the unselfishness, the togetherness, the chemistry that it takes to have a winning football team. So this is any opportunity that we have to be together, whether it's in the weight room, in the meeting room, on the field, we have to take advantage of it. We have to connect, and so far so good.
Our next question is from Chris Salar, the Detroit Free Press.
Hey Mel, good to see you. I guess for you, getting out on the field at this time of the year, what's the feeling like beyond just, the long wait and the off season and all that? I mean, this is usually when the building process does begin. I guess, how do you channel that to these guys in terms of getting the most out of them coming out of last year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It's good to see you, Chris. How do you get the most out of your players? Like I said, I mean, that's our job as coaches, is to teach, motivate, and develop. And spring ball is important because you do actually get a chance to get out on the grass and coach and play the game of football. What can you take from the classroom, in the meeting room? What can you carry over onto the field, into the game of football? What can you carry? How does the weight room and the running and lifting, how does that translate into actual performance on the field? And so, that's what this is all about. This is a developmental time for us. I mean, it's scheme development, it's technique and fundamentals, it's team chemistry. Everything that goes into building a winning program and cementing a culture of accountability, attention to detail, sense of urgency, all those things. This is a great time to build upon, everything that we've done up until this point. And so, I was excited to get out on the field. There's nothing out there but green grass and opportunity.
As an aside to that, I mean, there's obviously been the roster shakeup with guys coming in. We noticed a couple of the bigger names that weren't coming back for this year with Jordan Reed, Dotson, and Trey Person. I mean, the three guys have played a lot of football here. I guess, can you share some insight into the decisions that some of those guys made and maybe some of the guys who did decide to come back, like Arcuri and Campbell, and trying to make that work here with all the nuances of COVID year?
I mean, every player has to make a decision based on what he thinks is best for him. And we support those decisions. In the first year, there's going to be some movement. There's going to be some attrition. I know that. I understand that. And we're prepared for that. But that does not, that's not going to slow us down. We're going to do what we have to do to build our football team. And the purpose of recruiting is to improve your team, just like the purpose of the draft and free agency is to improve your team. And so the players that have stayed with us, You know, they believe in what we're doing, and they bought into our culture, and they feel like this is what they want. You know, what we're doing in our program, what we're teaching, our philosophy, our culture is something that resonates with the players that are here. And that's also what has attracted players to our program. And we have a tremendous coaching staff, tremendous support staff. It's a great university. We have a lot to sell, and you know, we're in the building stages of something that we believe is going to be something special.
Our next question is from Jim Comperoni with Spartan Magazine.
Hey, Mel, great to see you today. The tight end position, Matt Dotson, not on the roster, heard some things, might have had a setback there. Your thoughts on the tight end position and what you have coming back there, and have you seen any development through the winter? I know you haven't gotten in pads yet or anything, but what do you see about the tight end position right now?
Yeah, we have a nice group of players that are going to compete for playing time. So, you know, we have the numbers, and we just have to develop. And we have a group that they just range in, you know, body types and, you know, skill sets, and so we love to use our tight ends. We always have a tight end on the field or two, and so you know, we need to find guys that can block at the point of attack. You know, we need to get better in that area. And then we also need guys that can, you know, that can run and catch the ball and do a great job in that area. And, you know, hopefully you can develop a couple guys that can do it all. And so, you know, I like our group. You know, Coach Gilmore he's a true pro. He really knows what he's doing. He's a technician. He coaches after every single rep. He doesn't let anything slide. I mean, his attention to detail and his intensity, his focus and his teaching is at a very, very, very high level. So the guys that we have, I believe that we're going to be able to get the best out of them. Whatever they have to give, we'll get it.
All right. Also at defensive end, Brandon Wright is a young man who I think has changed position. Is that an experiment, or does that look like it's gaining some traction there? I think he got some work on defense in the fall. What do you think about him at defensive end? And also one transfer you can talk about, I think, is on the rosters. Drew Jordan, your initial impressions of him there at the defensive end position. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, Brandon Wright, I would say more in the fall, that was more of an experiment. You know, right now, I mean, he's a defensive end, and we're going to develop him there. He can rush. We need edge pressure. We need edge rushers. We need to have speed off the edge. You can't really get pressure on the quarterback with four guys if you don't have, you know, great pocket push inside and speed off the edge. And if you can't get pressure with four guys, you know, then you have to rely on pressures and blitzes to get home, which, you know, you're not going to be a very good defense if you have to rely solely on pressures to get to the quarterback. So we feel like he can give us something that's much needed on the edge. Drew Jordan is fitting in well. I got a lot of background information on Drew during the process of, you know, of getting him here. One of his coaches was one of my quality control guys in Jacksonville, and so you know, he was the right fit for us. He stepped in. He's mature. He's played a lot of football, played a lot of snaps. He started, you know, as a young player, as a freshman, and he's also going to be able to give us what we need as a rusher on the edge, but he's stout against the run as well. You know, good football player, and I believe he's going to emerge as a leader for us. I really like him. I'm glad he's here. He's a huge acquisition for us.
Hey, Mel, Xavier Henderson, is that a guy that can emerge as a leader type of player for you? What were your impressions with him in year one? And who do you see possibly emerging to be a tag team partner with him back there at safety?
Yeah, X is certainly has leadership ability, and he does lead, and his team may see him as a leader. And I know that because we've surveyed the team, and we've done the research, and so he's a guy that needs to be a leader for us. He's played a lot of football, and I expect him to step up and assume a leadership role and continue to improve as a leader. Michael Dowles, he's also a very solid leader, leads by example, works hard, he cares. I mean, he's a good teammate. I mean, those are two guys back there that I anticipate can be, just real kind of like glue guys and anchor type of guys where, exactly what you're going to get from them, and their teammates know what to expect from them, and they can lead and really help us. At some point, we need to have a player-led team at some point. And I hope that's sooner rather than later, because the player-led teams are usually the best teams.
I'm interested in a guy like Luke Campbell, also a guy that started 26 games in his career previously. Looks like he's back on the roster today. It's probably just a one-step-at-a-time situation for him, I would imagine. What have you learned about him? What can you say about him? And also, Matt Allen had some tough situations last year, but he's back giving it a go. Those two guys, a couple of veterans, what do you see for them this spring? What are they trying to get done as they inch along?
Yeah, their guys are have had some injury issues and are just working to get back to full speed. But those two guys love football. I mean, they love the game and they want to play, and they're here to play. And being on the team is important to them. Playing the game is important to them. Being a Spartan means a lot. Just their teammates. I mean, they just really want to be out there. They're here. They have purpose. They're here for a reason. And I have a lot of respect for both of those guys. Overcoming adversity, working through adversity. It's something that I have a high level of respect for. Injuries are part of the game. Your body is your business. Football. So anytime you see guys, battling back from injuries, working through adversity, things like that, and still have a fundamental love for the game and a desire to play and compete. What more could you ask for? And it's our job to do everything we can to help them. So we're working with them, and we're going to together we'll get it done.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
With March Madness, I'm just curious, is there any added pressure for you or your program after the early departure of the Spartans from the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, thanks, Lizzie. Always good to see you. I don't feel any added pressure. Pressure is that's an interesting word. How do you look at pressure? What really is pressure? To me, pressure is a privilege. Pressure means that people care, but the amount of pressure that we put on ourselves internally. I don't even know if you can measure it because we have an experienced coaching staff, we have motivated players, and we know what the expectations are.
All right, more from Mel Tucker in just a moment. Mel Tucker, head coach, second year head coach of the Michigan State football program. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
We have our own standards. We have goals. We have intrinsic motivation, and um, you know, there I can't. There's never been. I've never coached anywhere where the expectation was not to win every game. I mean, I can't. I mean, whether it was Michigan State when I was here in the '90s, late '90s, or Miami of Ohio, or LSU, or Ohio State, or Cleveland, Jacksonville, Chicago, Alabama, Georgia. I mean, you're expected to win. And so, I mean, there's no external factor that's going to affect, you know, our process and our preparation. And there's no additional pressure, you know. But whatever pressure we do have is a privilege. And not only do you accept the pressure and embrace it, but you also apply it.
Our next question is from Stephen Brooks of 24/7 Sports.
Hey, Mel. Hope you're doing well. I wanted to ask you, how did, you know, you talked about it earlier, that just the stop and start nature of last year, where you guys had people learning over Zoom, and then you're in camp, and then you're not, and then you got to rush to start the season. Just the way that all went, how did that affect how you planned for this spring season? Because I would imagine just with the time constraints, there were some things that you guys just couldn't really get to or couldn't go as deep on maybe last year as you wanted. How did that all affect just how you planned this spring ball and maybe get to some things that just time wouldn't allow for last year?
Yeah, we approached this spring like we would normally approach a spring, you know, outside of a pandemic, knowing that we were going to have spring practice, that we were going to, you know, have, you know, all the time that we would normally have. And you know, what happened, you know, last spring or last season is, I mean, it's just really in the past. I mean, it's a factor. It's certainly a factor in our preparation. But what I never wanted to do is, and I never wanted to use COVID and, you know, lack of spring practice, or, you know, only having 14 seniors. And I mean, anything you can think of. I mean, I didn't want to use that as an excuse for anything. I mean, I didn't even really want to bring it up. Didn't want to talk about it because nobody cares. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's some type of understanding or, you know, being, you know, realistic or practical about the situation. But at the end of the day, I mean, nobody really, really cares about that. You know, it's just really bottom line production. And so there's no sense even really talking about it. Just do what you need to do. You know, we have a more normal situation now. And so, you know, we're full speed ahead and planning, you know, to gain ground and raise the bar. I mean, it's really time to get after and see what we have and build this football team. We have a lot of work to do. And we're going to make the most of every day that we have.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey, Mel, we saw the schedule today with the spring game listed for the 24th of April. I was wondering, one, what the format is you guys are planning on, and two, is that something you think is going to be open to fans given the current restrictions and things like that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's going to be open to the fans. I hope that it is. I love to get the fans in there. I would like to have a game, you know, to have a real spring game. It's going to depend on how many players we have available at that time. But it's, you know, you want to put the players in as many game-like situations as you can. You know, in college, you don't get preseason games like you do in the NFL. And so anytime you get a chance to scrimmage, or, you know, play a game, you know, you want to take advantage of those opportunities because, you know, everything that we do, we want to try to make it as game-like as possible.
All right, again, Mel Tucker, head coach of the Michigan State football program, touching on a variety of topics there as spring football is here, folks. It is here and in live full effect. We are out of time, though. We will see you guys on the Thursday edition of the show. We are on a 23-hour break. In the meantime, I want you all to be smart, be safe, And as always, be easy, people.